there were a lot of people in the comments who agreed and said that absolutely he should be able to break up with her, whatever. But the majority of people who said that, you know, questioned his manhood and everything for choosing peace, they had a lot in common. I'll just put it that way. So, Buff, what do you have on this one? What's...
For what did they have in common?
Chromosomes. What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I am Tavoris Ferguson, aka Ferg, joined my co-host Rizzy and Buff. Fellas, tell them what's on your minds.
Coco!
Let's go!
I might be saying that throughout the show just randomly. Just randomly, man. Coco Golf, man. But I'm actually going to touch on that at the end of the show, because I figured you guys are probably going to bring it up as well. But if you don't know, women's tennis, Coco Gauff, as we record today, literally just won her first major championship, the U.S. Open. So,
as a teenager. Watch.
Yep.
19.
Yeah, I think she's the third.
She ties Serena. She ties Serena for the youngest.
Okay. I thought Serena was younger.
I think
she was
younger.
Of Venus. What, didn't Venus win it first?
It's Serena... Like some random person. Not random. Like it might have been like Mary Lou Redden or something. I don't know. Well, you know, let's go to old trusty Google.
So while he Googles that, I just was going to say Diddy gave back all of his artists' publishing, which allegedly, by the way, because I don't fully trust Diddy. I never do. But allegedly, he's given back all their publishing. And some are still critical of that, saying that they're not worth anything now. And some are applauding, saying Diddy's trying to turn around his image and be more honest, if you will. BG is out. BG from the Hot Boys, he's out. I saw some comments on that I don't know, I didn't feel like investigating it, but I saw people making assumptions based on how he looked. So I don't know what that was about, because like I said, I didn't investigate it. But he's out. He's part of one of my favorite groups, man, Hot Boys back in the day. So happy he's home. But more importantly, man, Elon Musk, you know, we always talk about, you know, how he's ruining Twitter, how he's having these arguments with Facebook owner whose name I can't think of right now. Zuckerberg. Mm. But I didn't realize this loser pretty much affected the Ukraine war. And this isn't getting talked about enough, but apparently Starlink, Ukraine was using a Starlink satellite to target a Russian fleet. And he had people shut off their satellite so that they couldn't attack this Russian fleet. Now he's saying for two reasons he did that, because one, he said he didn't create Starlink for it to be used in war. And two, he felt like had they carried out that attack, then Russia would have turned to the nuclear option and literally used the nuclear bomb in tech. So, you know, I don't know how you want to view that, but that is a lot of damn power for an already rich and powerful man to have that type of power to affect a war. So I just, like I said, it doesn't get talked about enough, or at least I haven't seen it talked about enough. So I just wanted to mention that, man.
Yeah, that's one of the downfalls.
What did Google tell you, Ferg?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it seems like there have been three women. Hold on. Let me see.
Naomi was in her 20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Osaka.
To win the U.S. Like 21. Open. And maybe it's not modern era. Monica Seles was 17 years old in 1991. Maureen Connolly was 16 years, 11 months in 1951. Martina Hingis was 16 years, 11 months in 1997. And Tracy Austin, 16 years, 8 months in 1979. I must be Googling the wrong thing. because I know Serena was supposed to be in that number.
Are these major championship, Grand Slam championships?
The U.S. Open. Unless there's another U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah. It's a, there's a golf U.S. Open.
These are tennis. Tennis. I think. Youngest to continue. We'll continue.
All right. We'll come back to it. Yeah. So, I don't know if you remember what you're about to say, Rozzy.
Yeah, but. I was just going to say that. That is that's the downfall of privatization of government like services. Usually what happens when a government uses a service like that, they buy the service, but they put it on like a government owned server, like private server, that type of thing where they own it, or it's like, you can't shut me off, right? Like that usually is a part of the agreement when they go through privatization. When governments aren't rich enough to be able to do that, a lot of times what they do is they just almost like me and you, like, hey, AT&T, I need some internet. They go, you know, and they go and just go and ask these private companies to provide services for them. And those services, those companies can literally turn them off and do things like that. And that kind of goes to the difference of like very, very large countries versus smaller countries that have to just kind of, where you, like you said, the company is actually bigger and more powerful than the country is. And that's crazy to think, like you said, that a company or any type of individual can be more powerful than any country to be like, yeah, I'll just turn off your services and you can't say nothing. You can't defend yourself.
Is it really?
If I say you can't.
Is it really that far-fetched though? I always look at, you know, we look at movies and books as entertainment, but there's usually, especially even science fiction, there's usually some truth to those things. But think about all these books and movies where these large corporations kind of just take over the world. Like you look at them and they're, you know, even especially like tech companies like Ready Player One and things like that. You see all these large corporations who become like bigger than the government, or they have a lot of influence over the government. And I'm not surprised. I mean, tech's going to either make or break us. And so, you know, yeah, it's not surprising at all.
Yeah, it's just, it's sad, man. But speaking of movies and all of that, I don't know if you guys saw AMC reached a deal with SAG-AFTRA. So if you like The Walking Dead and all of those types of shows, I think they have two spinoffs they're trying to do with them and everything. AMC got an exception from the strike, so they can actually start filming on those again. So that's kind of cool that SAG-AFTRA is actually kind of looking at each individual request and they're giving us, you know, what they can on it. So I think the big two that they're talking about is Interview with a Vampire. That season two is going to start filming again. And those spinoffs. So Daryl Dixon, and I can't remember the other one from The Walking Dead. So if you like those series, those will be back.
Dead City,
yeah. So those will be back on the regular schedule. Now, even though they got the exception from SAG-AFTRA, they didn't reach an agreement with the Writers Guild. So if the writing still kind of sucks, or the script kind of sucks, that's why. It's like they can act all they want, but if the writers don't fix, you know, as they go along, because I think that's a lot of people think that the writers write the script and then that's it, they're done with it. But there's a lot of rewrites that happen throughout filming, usually with the directors and everything. So there's going to be some of that where it's going to be kind of stilted even in the acting that's happening. But we'll see. But I'm glad that they are trying to deal with this. But we told you guys when that strike happened, it's gonna affect how things happen and how we can actually get good stuff out there. I talked about One Piece last week. I actually watched it. It's awesome. It's great. And the producer said that they actually have the script for season two already ready to go. So as soon as the strike finishes up, they'll be able to start on season two. So, and I'm glad that it's gonna get a season two because it really is the best live action adaptation I've ever seen. So happy for that one. That's really all I got, man. Oh, one other thing. I don't know, the one chip challenge. So a 14-year-old kid died after doing the one chip challenge. So Pacquiao or whatever, I can't really pronounce it, the company that owns the one chip challenge or whatever, they are pulling all of their products off the shelves right now. So you won't be able to find it. And you know, the packaging very clearly says not for children, adults only, blah, 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 blah. But we all know it's kind of like wine coolers. We really know who drinks those. And so they're pulling it off from an abundance of caution is what they're saying. So you won't be able to get the one chip challenge, which is smart. I'm glad they're doing that. But heart goes out to the kid that took the chip and started coughing. They took him to the hospital. He ended up dying from it. Now, they don't know if the chip caused it or not, but, you know, that it makes sense because those things are hot. So that's all
you
I got.
Did the one chip challenge?
I took a bite of it. I didn't do the one chip challenge, not the whole thing. Like, I didn't bite the whole thing because it was hot. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
Y'all lucky my camera off because you would see the disappointment in my face. That's the reason I ask. Like, you would do the one chip challenge.
Yes, what? I bought one too, and I was going to do it, but it like broke up and it crumbled because the kids like opened the packaging and messed with it. And so I just opened it and like took a little piece.
Why were you going to do it?
Because I like hot food anyway. And so it just looks fun to do. It's no different than like, oh, give me the volcano wings. Like, you just want to taste it. Like, I want to try it.
Yeah, I don't. Looks Byron, fun. Do you try the volcano wings?
Nah. I do like spicy food though.
I do
like
too. Spicy food. But do you notice a common denominator? It's like, it's these challenges. Like, try the volcano wings. You know, I can get hot wings extra spicy, but it's so hilarious. So they did the old bait and switch, the whole parental advisory thing they did back in the 90s with rap CDs. Just tell them it's not intended for kids. That'll set them straight. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they did is like, oh, because I've been in a record store before. Record store, that's where people, so for our young listeners, way back in the 90s, in the 19th century, well, the 20th century.
The 20th century, 1900s.
Yeah, they used to have these things called record stores, was where common folk went to listen to music and pick up all the latest music of the day, you know. And you would go through these bins and things like that to find the music that you were looking for. So let's say you wanted to buy the newest Snoop Dogg CD. So Snoop is a rapper. I know you guys know him as like a reality show and all that, state game show host, but I'm coming a little history lesson back here. But you could buy Doggy Style. There was two versions. There was the parental version that had the mark, and the you know, for radio version. Which one did you get, Buff?
It had to have that explicit parental advisory explicit.
It's marketing at its best.
As soon as your parent walked into Walmart, because that's where you got most of the like the edited versions. Walmart would only sell the edited version. So if your parent and bought a CD from Walmart, you already knew. He's like, I don't want it, Mom. Like, you can take that back.
Yeah,
I don't even want to listen.
Yeah, they weren't going to Sam Goodies or any other places. So the same thing with the chips. I'm just so amazed people's infatuation with these new crazes. And Rizzy, you're one of it. It's funny because every time like something new comes out, the first thing was like, Rizzy, did you try it? You are why marketers have jobs. And it's sad that it's things like this where
that is my weakness. If you put new, limited time only, I have to try it. I gotta try it. It is. Yeah. Remember the chocolate right. Skittles?
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like
M&M's. You don't remember chocolate Skittles?
I was gonna say, is that just an M&M?
No. Why would I?
No. It was chocolate flavored Skittles. There was no chocolate in it. It was Skittles, but they were chocolate flavored.
Sounds horrible. Idea. Yeah, sounds like a bad idea.
Why would you?
They were really bad. No, but I had to try them
to the one chip challenge. You knew it was hot. Like, what were your expectations?
I didn't know how hot, and I wanted to know how hot they really were. like that's what it comes down to. Like, you know, are they capping? Are they actually that hot? I need to know. Like, when these people are coughing and like, you know, drinking milk and like, oh my God, are they really, is it really that hot? I had to know.
But what do you win when you find out? Besides knowledge of you're right, they're that hot.
Nothing. But then it becomes a competition. Can I survive longer than them and not cough and have to drink the milk and everything for a minute, two minutes?
There's levels too.
You know, I think Shaq only lasted like 30 seconds. And so, you know, can I beat Shaq? Can I be, you know, what's the longest that somebody's gone? You know, it's just that, man. It's fun. People do like the little... What?
Whatever you're naming, I'm probably going to say that's stupid too. Whatever you're naming, I'm probably going to say that's stupid too. But, you know, to each his own, you know, it is what it is. Back to the original point.
You've never challenged somebody to, I don't know, push-ups or like, hey, how many pull-ups can you do? Or, you know, how long can you be in the chair versus me in the chair? Like, I mean, guys, dude, we challenge each other to stuff all the time. It's no different.
That's a personal challenge rather than, hey, let's create a chip and see how many idiots decide to bite this chip and buy this bag. You know, like, I wouldn't participate in the push-up challenge on Facebook. You know,
I mean, a lot of people have.
We had personal.
There's a really cool TikTok where they have like a push up challenge where you have to go halfway down, up.
So
like,
yeah,
it's actually fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe you, man. I wish my camera was on because my disappointment in your logic right now is written all over my face, but. Speaking of disappointment, I've been disappointing myself lately. So, y'all know what dry snitching is, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Apparently, I've been wet snitching on myself.
Hear me out.
So, this is probably one of the hottest summers ever. And in Houston, it's just ridiculous. And to the point where it's been triple-digit weather for just... God knows how long. And I'm talking about like 107, 108, feels like 115, humidity, all that stuff. And so most of Houston is like the grass is scorched earth. And so apparently we're on a water conservation, you know, thing going on. So if you drive in my neighborhood, one of these things does not look like the other. My grass is so green and overgrown because before they put the water conservation alert out, I'm like, my grass is gone. And so I upped my sprinkler game. And I didn't realize, like, because grass just like recovers really fast. And so not only is my grass covered, like it's overgrown, like I need my lawn guy to come back out because my grass is just looks crazy, but everybody else is like scorched earth. I mean completely brown. And so I have this patch of green in a neighborhood of brown and I'm like, oh shit, I hope they don't drive around like, all right, is anybody overusing? Hold on. When I say I stand out, I stick out like a sore thumb, it's hilarious. I'm like, man, I just need to turn my sprinklers off for like a week or something because at one point I might have had it. I at least had it 4 days a week. At least.
that's a lot of water.
Okay, 5 days a week. 5 days a week. 5 days a week at one point. Because it was just like so dry. I was trying to get my ground back saturated because it was freaking the water... it had been dry so long, we had a drought that, you know, the ground was hard as hell. So I needed to get, you know, replenish that saturation in the water. And I guess I just forgot about it and probably ran an extra week or two. And Yeah, it's there. So I have runoff now.
Bruh.
So I wet snitched on myself. All right, that's pretty much all I got outside of the fact that Coco Gauff is awesome and Black Girl Magic again. You know, I've been really hitting on that the last few weeks, and I've watched pretty much all her matches, and she's just phenomenal and so young, so poised. Just seems like an excellent young lady. The way she speaks, her connection with her family. She's very spiritual, so it seems humble. But I loved her humble brag and during her interview afterwards when she thanked all the haters. She thanked all the people who told her that pretty much this was it.
Yeah, that they rooted against her or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, whatever you won that's as good as it gets. Be happy. And for the young lady she competed against, my apologies for all the names I called you during the game. You did not deserve any of that hate that I gave you.
Same. Apologize for me too, Fur, because I might have called her some names she did not deserve to be called. Yeah. And yeah, all that lady did was trying to win a match.
I see how people get caught up. My bad. Oh, last thing. I have a new guilty pleasure. Somehow I'll be scrolling through Facebook and these little what made me think of this, how we went off on old girl, was these new videos, these horrible acting videos, these Karen videos of like they'll put somebody in a situation where, you know, one time this her name is Karen in the video, and she was a flight attendant, or you know, and she was very disrespectful and judgmental to a lady who was oversized and made her buy an extra. She actually bought two seats, and she's like, for her and her husband's like, yeah, I'm just gonna charge you for, you know, he's not gonna be able to fly because you're taking up both seats. Then another one, she was just like racially profiling another guy and a black dude who had a white daughter. Then she racially profiled another chick in a clothing store, and it's like it's so bad, but I just love seeing. Like it's so overtly over the top and it's just like, it's just so bad. But it's love seeing Karen get put in that place.
Was that the movie or the show?
No, it's just so bad. It's just like, you know how they have like these, you'll probably see these, it's like spiritual shows, like where, you know, the husband wins the lotto and cheats on his wife and breaks up with her. And then the next chick gets over, like, it's like all these shows, like, you know, be careful what you wish for and be patient. God has something for you. It was one of those don't judge a book by its cover and treat people nicely. All great messages. But the acting's so bad, and I love seeing Karen. Karen's my favorite character. I love to hate Karen. Like you, I'm gonna send you guys a video. It's so bad. You'll probably get through like a minute and a half of it, and you'll be like, this is so bad. But you're like, what is Karen gonna say? Her acting is so bad.
I definitely gotta see that. So did we talk about Colorado? I think we talked about Coco Gauff, but we did not talk about Coach Prime Colorado, and we talked about the haters and how Coco Gauff you know said something at the end of hers. But I am loving what Colorado is doing this year. I mean, those boys came out and they are sticking it to all the haters, man. Like I've watched both of their games. Like they were Alabama games. Like I was like, oh, they're playing. Let me put it on. So it's been serious. Prime did something, man, because the games are sold out. People are watching. I mean, he's getting numbers at Colorado like they're a top tier team, even though and they hit top 25. So, but I mean, hats off to him, man.
I think the biggest criticism they got was, you know, yeah, his son put up those numbers, but, you know, that was against, you know, HBCU schools. And then he goes out his first game against a team that was in the championship just earlier this year. Yes, they lost a lot of players, but still, they were ranked number 17. Colorado was supposed to lose by, I think, 20-some points. 20. They were like a 20-some point underdog. Yeah. And he puts up the most passing yards in Colorado history, throws four touchdowns, no interceptions, and wins the game on their field in TCU. So I thought that was pretty cool. It's just cool. Listen, if you listen to the show, I think we all pretty much agree we hated how Deion left Jackson State, especially after the promises he made to that school and to the players that came there to play for him. I still hate how he left. That has not changed. But I can also say, well, look, what I'm going to do, be mad at him for the rest of my life? Like, okay, he's there now. I do still want to see him succeed. I want to see those players succeed, like his son, that guy Travis Hunter. Oh, man, what a baller. Like, Hunter, I want to see those guys succeed. So, yeah, he's a baller. So, you know, it's just been cool watching them and, you know, seeing how far they can go, because it's definitely an interesting season so far.
Agreed. Agreed. So, is Sophie here? No, she's not. She's at a party.
Sophie. Sophie is a socialite.
I'm about to say Sophie's social life parties. Is like, yeah.
She does, man. It's funny. Like, no matter what the kid is in the school, they love Sophie. Like, the nerds love her, the cool kids, the athletic kids, like, all the kids love her, and she gets invited to almost every party. So we literally have to be like, yes, you can go to that one. No, you can't go to that one because you're going to that one. We have something. We're going to be out of town. You got to tell them no. Like, almost every weekend, there's a choice to be made whether she's going to go to a party or not. It's crazy, man. So I love her for it, but I feel like a chauffeur a lot of weekends based on that.
You are a chauffeur.
Continue. I am.
On Twitter at gamblers_dream. It's called the premium, but their Twitter handle is @gamblers_dream. They tweeted when Coco was down, when she lost that first set 6-2. They tweeted pretty quiet now, aren't you, Coco? I'm surprised she hasn't complained yet. And like, everybody's tweeting them now, her holding up the trophy. I think they deleted this tweet, because when I click on it, nothing's popping up. So at Gambler's Dream, put that tweet back up, man. I mean, y'all was big and bad when y'all put it out there. Don't delete it. Put it back up there.
Say it with your chest.
Go ahead. That's one of the people she was talking about for.
Exactly.
Her.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
So, but all right. I got a joke for y'all. I do. I have a joke. So, what do you call a reluctant potato? A hesitator.
A hesitator.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. That's not bad. You know.
That's a good one. That's not bad.
Yeah. Hold on. You're going too far. Just accept that's not bad, and keep the party going.
Alright, who's up, man? Who we got? Who's going first?
I'll yield. We did a lot of talking in the beginning.
I went first last week.
So Ryza, go ahead and jump into it.
Alright. I have two. But I think I want to do this one. Alright. So saw a tweet and it started a whole conversation. Tweets? An X. I don't know what they call them.
I forgot what X calls them. They call them something. I forgot. They're still tweets, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they're tweets.
Your mama named your tweet.
There it is. Yeah.
And yeah. And so the tweet basically said a guy broke up with his girlfriend because her son was bad. And
I saw that.
I want to ask you guys, is that a legitimate reason? Yeah. And is that a legitimate reason for breaking up with somebody? Like, to end a relationship because the kids are bad?
Yes.
let's take this further. Any reason is a legitimate reason to break up with anybody. You don't need, especially if you're not married, you don't have to stay with anybody. You can break up with somebody because they snore, and I like to sleep. And it's just like, she's cute, but she snores, and I'm over it. Call it petty, call it what you will. Call me single. And, you know, the funny thing was the comments. So the right answer is it's okay. So anything else is wrong. Just what it is. So let's shift that question and talk about the comments, because I think that's what was the real problem. You know, people's expectation of others and why they should stay in a relationship. Because I, you know, first thing, a real man would not run from this responsibility and recognize that they've been together for so long. And the problem is he needs a real man in his life, and he should step up and, you know, make that change. She can't raise him by herself. Like, all these things. And I'm like, and the mom was just, the crazy thing is in the video, the mom was justifying the actions of her son.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing is, I don't know. I mean, and I'm not going to say who was saying that, but it seemed really one-sided. And we had a lot of people, I'm not going to say it was one-sided, there were a lot of people in the comments who agreed and said that absolutely he should be able to break up with her, whatever. But the majority of people who said that, you know, question his manhood and everything for choosing peace, they had a lot in common. I'll just put it that way. So, Buff, what do you have on this one?
What did they have in common?
Chromosomes.
I'm gonna say yes, because everything Ferg said, plus I know a real life situation to where this guy's marriage ended basically because she allowed her kids that he helped raise, because when they first started dating and got married, the kids were very young. But as they've become teenagers, you know, she allowed them to disrespect him. And it was like it's always just that one final straw. And it was one final straw when they were in an argument and the son said, whatever, I'll get my father, who was doing nothing for him, by the way, throughout his life. But I'll get my father to come and F you up. And he pretty much looked at the wife like, this cool with you? So once she did nothing about it, it's like, okay, he checked out and he did all the necessary steps to leave that marriage. Now, you could say that's an extreme example, but it can come to that, because usually if the kids are that bad, that means that that mother, that parent is allowing a lot of things to slide, and she's going to let them slide, or he's going to let those things slide even when you guys enter into a relationship. And if you're someone that doesn't want to put up with that, then there's no sense in wasting your time or their time. Abort mission.
Yeah. I'll throw some nuance in there, right? I agree with you, Ferg, that you should be able to break up with somebody for any reason. It's kind of like an at-will work state, right? I can break up with you for any reason. I don't have to give cause. But, you know, other than I just don't want to be in this relationship anymore. That's the whole point of dating versus us being married, right? That it's easier to get out of this situation. I think you shouldn't go in like, oh, the kid's bad on our first date and I'm out, right? Like, if you like that person enough, you can be a father figure for that person or for that kid and maybe mentor them up. And so I don't want to say completely discount and be like, oh, the kid's bad, automatically walk away. But that wasn't this situation. Again, kind of Fur, you talked about the video. They had been together for a while.
Let me clarify too. I'm not saying that a person should do that. I'm saying it is your right, though. In your example, on a first date, you're like, oh, you got bad kids, I'm out. Or I can stay and be a father figure. Or you can just be out. Like, it's that simple. Like, there's women that don't go on second dates because she didn't like the color of a dude's car. You know, like, these are all, she was too fat. You know, like, people make there's red flags. There's just things that you just know are going to be problematic, and maybe sticking it in there, it might work, but it's so early in the game. In a lot of these situations, just cut your losses and move on. You don't have to be a father. You don't have to be a father figure to a badass kid. You can be a father figure to a geek kid. I'm just saying.
I like that you bring up.
You know me,
like,
I was out
it's
quick.
A red flag. Because yeah. Like my thing is when that kid is bad like that, it is definitely a red flag that person doesn't know or can't raise that kid, can't communicate. There's something causing that kid to be bad like that. Whether it is the parent being kind of dismissive and not doing anything about it, not disciplining them, which means to your point, Buff, they're going to let them walk over you too. And you're going to end up being a disciplinarian in that situation. And that's never kind of a good situation where the third party is coming in having to be the disciplinarian. And they're going to run into that situation where I'll tell my daddy or you not my daddy and this, that, and the other. And so I definitely think it's a red flag. So, cause I mean, I'm back in these dating streets and I'm with you. I probably, if the kid's bad, I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this or not. Like, yeah. You know, cause I don't want to deal with it.
Well, I have the privilege and the honor of being able to mentor a lot of young men. And I'm not going to sit here and act like it's the mother or the father's fault on them. Some of these kids just have their own, they have their own issues. They're growing up in a world like no one else. This new world, you guys, if you don't see them and deal with them on a daily basis, it is new. That our parents just ain't nothing you did that I've done. Relevant now. So there's mothers out here, two parent households out here trying to piece it together because the kids are trying to piece it together. It's so new that nobody, our generation, the current state of the world, and the world's constantly changing. It is completely a whole new world. Like even your age, our age, the dating scene is different today than it was 20 years ago. The way people have to adapt, the way these kids are adapting, it's hard to relate. So I'm not saying that a mother who has a child, daughter or son who is struggling with behavior doesn't deserve help. I'm not saying it's her fault or any of that. What I'm saying is you as the suitor have the right to make that decision. And it might be unfair to the mother. She might miss out on some good people because of their decision around her kid. That hurts my heart. But at the same time, you're single once again. So you have the right to be selfish. And in this situation you were talking about, they have been together for a while. And at a certain point, you have to just recognize, like, I can't do this. You know, I'm going to be miserable.
No, I was just going to say, I agree. I was just saying that it's a red flag, right? When we talk about red flags, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm cutting loose at any given point. I'm not saying that it's the parents' fault or whatever. I'm saying it could be, right? And that's a red flag you need to investigate to see, do you want to deal with that, right? What is it that's causing that kid? Because it could be that they have, like you said, they're going through issues. They could have ADHD and just need some Ritalin and they'll be good. Like, so it could be some of anything, but it's like, you have to make that choice. Do you really want to deal with it or not?
Man, nobody should have to talk you into staying with somebody.
Exactly. That's the point.
There are women, and I thought this was a joke at first until I posted it, and people that I know in real life commented pretty much the same way. There are women that stop talking to guys because he has an Android phone. And I thought that was a joke because I know Apple users give Android users a hard time.
Or use the Cash App card.
Yeah. It was some nuance to that, but yeah.
There's a hard stop on I don't date men with kids like that. For that, that's, they can have that requirement, right? Or I know my worth. I don't want to do that, and that's on their list that he can't have a kid at all. And I can't say that, well, she can have a kid, but he can't be bad. Like, I can set my bar wherever I want to.
I'm not going to go that far and just say, because men and women both have their preferences. Everybody has their preferences. My point is, I urge women to be just as picky. I tell everybody to be that picky. If those red flags appear, like, to me, it's when I read those comments, it was like you're trying to talk yourself into staying. You're trying to bypass those red flags. And I'm telling you, women, stop what you're doing. Listen to me. Stop it. You're going to be miserable if you keep bypassing red flags and talking yourself into staying in situations that are obviously not protecting your peace. I'm not saying it's easy. That's a lot of times why guys get bad raps. It's like, girl, men ain't da da da. Like, he wasn't from day one. He showed you that. I showed you I wasn't. And now you mad because I'm not sh-. Like, I told you that. You saw that. You know, you were messing with me when I had a girlfriend. Now I'm cheating on you and you mad. Like, this is what I do. You know, like, you met me cheating. You met me in these streets. You met me doing these things. You know, guys do the same thing. You know, they want to, you know, the whole, you can't turn a hoe to a housewife. We try to, but I love her, dog. You know, but it's same thing. But we'll tell you, like, dog, let it go. You know, we'll give you that advice, like, dog, you know, she's, you can't turn, the reason we have a, you can't turn a hoe to a housewife statement. Do women have anything like that?
Basically, all men are dogs.
I guess outside all men are dogs. Yeah, but like, all men are dogs. So the,
There is just accept it. Yeah. It's like, just accept it is their kind of thing. Whereas we're like, nope, got to be picky.
You know, and I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying, ladies, be picky. You deserve it. You have the right to be picky within reason. But don't bypass those red flags. If the child is going to be a problem in your relationship, then walk away. Don't waste your time. Go find somebody that doesn't have that red flag. There's plenty of single women, plenty of single men who have great kids out here that could enjoy and benefit from a bonus parent, you know. And there's some where it's, they can benefit, but it's just like the situation's too tough. It's your dateability resume. Your red flag ain't even yours. Your kids or your crazy baby daddy, your crazy baby mama can be a red flag. Like, are you going to break up with a chick because of baby mama crazy? Yeah, I don't have time for that. I mean, you know, well, baby daddy crazy? Yeah, I don't have time for that. Like, if I got to think about, like, I really like her, but I might have to fight this dude, like, constantly. He's doing all this stuff. It just causes too much trouble. Like, hey, you know, I like you, but I'm out. And you can call me whatever, you a real man, a fight for my love. You know, he want to fight, so y'all might be needing to be back together. So whatever that is. So the answer is no. Or yes, or whatever it was.
Cool. Good discussion, man.
What you got? On you.
Okay. I'm going to go last. I've been talking a lot. We're good.
All right. So I listened to the Dan Le Batard show from time to time, and he had an interview with Stephen A. Smith several months ago. And during the interview, Stephen A. Smith was talking about his relationship with his father. And at one point, he said something that made me rewind it because I wanted to make sure I heard him correctly. But he said, I love my father, but I don't respect him. And I kind of like raised the eyebrow, and Tabitha and I kind of discussed it or whatever, and she kind of understood where he's coming from. I don't know if I quite co-signed that. Do you two feel like you can love someone that you don't respect? And I feel like, so when me and Tabitha were discussing it, she was saying, you know, there are things that somebody can do that you don't. I'm not saying, you can love someone and not respect some of the things they do, but to no longer respect that person totally, I put it to you, brothers. Can you respect some? Can you love someone that you don't respect?
Berg, I saw you come off mute. You want to go first?
The answer is yes. I think there has to be a certain level, like, because in the sport, respect is so, you know, so tough. Like, I love my biological father just because of the way I was brought up. My mom and my stepdad taught me to love everyone for who they are, right? But my level of respect for him is very low. And not in like a disrespectful manner, but like to, you know, what am I going to respect you about, right? Like, what have you done, not even to earn my respect, but like to keep it? Like, I don't see I don't see, like, you could have completely just not been in my life, but I look at you and I look at the things that you've accomplished. And, you know, my, when I think about respect, it's like your accomplishments and who you are and things around you, like your energy, like, and I don't see that. And nothing against him. He's a very loving person, you know, but it's just like, I don't know what to respect, right? Like there's nothing. And I sometimes I feel more like his parent than he's mine, right? Like I have to look out for him and talk to him, you know, and give him the guidance. And it's just like, now I show him respect because that's how I was raised. As you know, I'm not going to talk disrespectful to him. So there's never be a sign of disrespect. He's never done anything disrespectful to me or make me disrespect him. But like respect, like I respect you guys. I see the way you raise your kids, the way you treat your wives, the way you move and shake. Like you probably, if you think about it, you have friends like, yeah, that's my dog. Like, but when you look at the respect, you respect them for being a black man and, you know, growing up with you in Mobile and other, but you're like, you don't really got no respect for them. Like they, what have they done with themselves that has earned Byron or Raziel's respect? So that's how I look at that. So maybe I misunderstood the question or I just think of it differently.
Yeah. I think you have to flip it and think about it. Can you respect somebody and not love them? And that's probably a yes, right? You have respect for Obama, but you don't love Obama. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You respect people for what they did and how they lived their life, like you said, Ferg, how and everything. I think actions bring respect. Love, sometimes. Sometimes actions can bring love too, but a lot of times love comes from just being there for you, that type of thing. And I think you flipping it from, maybe you're looking at it from like a parent type of thing, right? Where it's like the child saying, I love you, but I don't respect you. But if you flip it in that instance too, where the parents a lot of times love their kids, but then don't respect what they become, right? Don't respect the moms who their sons are drug dealers and stuff like that. They don't respect their children or what they're doing, right? You're scamming and that's what you do, and I don't respect that, and so you can't be in my house and this, that, and other. But that doesn't mean they don't love them, right? They want the best for them. They're praying for them. You hear it all the time. I'm praying for you to get better. I'm praying for you to do better. I'm praying for that. So that shows you that level of love, but that lack of respect right there. And I think that happens a lot of times too, where you'll see a lot where sons, their dads beat them, but they took care of them, right? It's like, yeah, you beat on me or whatever, but I had a roof over my head, food on the table. You know, he was there when I really needed him. He did protect me, but I don't respect him because he abused me, right? And so I
definitely think you can.
Yeah, you see that a lot. But I think a lot of times it is because they do love them, and that's why for a lot of DVs and stuff like that, it's hard to leave because they love them, but they don't respect them. Like they do love them, and they like I see the good sometimes. I see the twinkle in their eye. I see when they're not drinking and how loving they are. But then they go out and they drink, and so they come home and they, you know, throw stuff and all of that. Like I think they're very separate things. That you can have a love for somebody and still not respect them because of the things that they do, but you still want to hold on because you love them. And unfortunately that love can be derived from a lot of different things, right? Stockholm syndrome is one that you kind of start to hear about, right? Where I love you because of that. You raised me, so I love you because you're my parent, but I don't respect you because you do these things. So I definitely think, and I think what you're talking about, Ferg, that respect of you show them respect because you're scared or something like that, but that doesn't mean you don't love them because of that, right? So it's a lot of dynamics in there, but I ultimately do think you can love somebody and not respect them.
So let me step in real quick, Buff, because I know you're about to go, because I can see your wheel spinning. So Rizzy, what you said made me think of something, and I think we talked about this before. Maybe we just talked about it aside. But I'm going to address what you were saying about the father figure. I think sometimes because like he kept a roof over my head, he worked two jobs, he did also, we respect what he did. Like we respect the hard work and the things, the sacrifices he made for the family and stuff like that. but like the way he treats your mom, or he did this, or you don't like, you don't do that, or there's a certain, it's a mixture. So I still think there's a respect because it's what you've done. And when I think about it, I think love is more about me. Like I'm, like you're a loving person because you love, like you're taught to love. Respect is more about you, your actions, and what you've done to garner that respect. Because I think as a community, we're so loving and forgiving. We're taught to love. That was the biggest thing they could do. Teach us how to love everybody and get along, reach out and touch somebody's hand, all that stuff. That's the reason we're so forgiving. That's part of the reason we're in the predicament we're in. You know, like we, you know, we, somebody can go shoot up a church and we're just like, well, pray for them, you know, and, you know, pray for the family of joy. Like, no, it's like we're so loving because we're taught to love. You know, we grew up in the church and, you know, the church taught us love and forgiveness and kindness and stuff like that. We don't necessarily respect them, but we're still taught to love everybody. You know, love thy neighbor, love all this stuff. And so we're taught to love. So that's more about what we're doing, regardless of me respecting you for what you do. Back to what you were saying, Rizzy, about the parents that love their the drug dealing son or the daughter that's out here being permitted. We're just taught to love everybody. And you might respect them, but you love them. So, Buff, give it to us. Go ahead and give us the right answer.
Nah, man, you guys... I think you guys have pretty much, I'm still not sure on my answer. I think this is the best I can do. If I lose my respect for you, then whatever love I have for you is meaningless. Like it's really like, yeah, I may still love you, but I'm probably not doing anything for you. I'm not going out of my way for you. You can't count on me for anything like that. If I lose respect for you, and it takes a lot, because I don't like, I've said this many times on this podcast before, my dad was not a perfect man. You know, he did a lot of things that I forgave him for, but I never lost respect for him. I never lost love for him. I didn't like some of the things he did, but when you look at the totality of his life and what he went through and how he was raised, it gave me better understanding and accepting. Because I do believe that, you know, people's behavior, there is a causality to it at times. And when learning how he was raised and everything he went through, it was easy to forgive the things that he did. But I still never lost respect for him. So for me, if I lose respect for you, that means, in my eyes, you haven't even tried to be a decent person at all. Because I don't mind loving someone or even having respect for someone that has a vice, that falls a lot, that fails a lot. All I need to see is you genuinely trying to be better, trying to do better. When I no longer see that and I lose respect for you, even if I still love you, because I think you guys make some great points, and I can't argue them. So all I can say is, well, if I do still love you, but I've lost respect for you, my love is probably worthless to you.
Those are bars, bro. I mean, you just made me think. And when you said lose respect, I think that's a whole nother. There's like, that's why I said there's levels. Just like there's levels to love, there's levels to respect. And we try to put it all in one bucket. There's people that you just like, you know, you have the utmost respect for. I have the utmost respect for you guys. There's people just you respect because, you know, like, oh, I see a black man on the street. There's just respect. Yeah. You know, like, you know,
literally, I respect this hustle. Respect. I respect this, you know,
like,
but, you know.
Yeah, like, respect, you know. You know, and then I think there's a general level of respect. Like, so I'll go back to my dad. Like, I don't think I've ever lost respect for him. I think he just has his basic level, like, it's like basic cable of respect. You know, it's, you know, no extra channels, nothing, you know, nothing, not the same respect I had for Kenny for raising me like his own. My mom, you guys, the people, that's like, it's just, it's not. And so because of the basic level of respect, I'm going to do certain things for you as long as it doesn't, you know, it's almost like when you go to Main Event or Chuck E. Cheese, and like, if respect gave you game, if you got game tickets for respect, you know, it's like, you want to ask me to do is like, you're looking at the wrong wall. You do not qualify for these prizes right here. you know, if Rodgers said, hey, bro, move, fly to Birmingham, help me drive down, do this, 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 and that with the kids. If like, I can manage it, I'll do it because of my level of respect for you. But at the same time, it's like, dog, can, you know, I stay around, you know, you got to drive an hour and help me move my furniture and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, my level of respect for you is not that, you know, I'll put some on a U-Haul for you, you know, like, and it's those things. It's the difference in that, you know, like respect is like game tickets. Like, you know, you depend on how many game tickets you won. Respect tickets you won is what you qualify for. So, you know, there's people getting bubble gum, you know, the hard bubblicious, you know, and then there's people like, oh, so you got a PS5 from Chuck E. Cheese? Yeah, but PS5 from Chuck E. Cheese, you know, got 12 million tickets, you know?
Yeah,
I think it's that. And you know,
maybe that's what I'm thinking through is when you say I don't respect you, that's the level I'm putting them on, is the basic, like, I'm being cordial respectful. Like I don't have any, like, true respect for you where it's like, I'm going to go that extra yard or I'm talking about you. If I'm not bringing up your name and using you as an example when I'm talking about this thing and I'm like, I have this much respect for you on that. That's the level when I say I can love you and not respect you. Like, to be completely disrespect, like, I agree there. I can't love you and totally have you on this whole I'm disrespecting you. Because at that point, that love has turned to hate. Like, if I feel like I'm going to disrespect you, if I got you on that level where, like, you are below minimum acceptable normal type of respect, then yeah, I don't think they can coexist. Because at that point, I do think I've gone into some hate.
Yeah, I can still, I have family members who I've lost respect for because of how they've treated and raised their families or didn't raise their families, how they abandoned certain, like, so I've lost respect for them. I love them just because they're blood. And, you know, I love seeing them, you know, just because, you know, if it's a family outing and it's just everybody's around, it just adds to the ambiance and excitement of just seeing people. But I have little to no respect for them. Like, I've lost respect for them. Like I said, with my dad, it's just he has that basic level, maybe a little more. You know, he's doing better. You pray, like you said, you pray for them to get better. You pray for them to be. So I still, because I love you, I want you to be better. I want you to be healthy. I want you to get your life together. You know, I always pray for those things. But yet and still, you know, there's people's like, man, I can give two shit about you, man. I want you to do okay, because the people who do love you and have still respected you or still have respect for you are linked to you, and when you do bad, it hurts them and adds pressure to them. So I want you to do good just because I don't want to see Byron hurt, you know? So yeah, that's a good question, man. But I think we're probably at that mark. So I'm going to yield my question.
All right.
I think we had some really good conversations today, fellas. I enjoyed myself.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and close it on out then.
So, I started out yelling Coco. I'll spare y'all that. But before I get to Coco, I do want to say, you know, Tucker Carlson continues to be, and I think he likes being dangerous or reckless. I don't know what it is, but he has a show on X, formerly known as Twitter. But he had an interview with 45, and at one point he said, you know, if you win the primary, do you fear that liberals will kill you to keep you from becoming president? I think it's reckless to even put that idea out there. And, like, even 45 was kind of like, hey, yo, what the hell are you talking about? But it was kind of crazy. And he also had... I don't even want to get this dude, I don't want to name this guy because I don't want to give him any more publicity than he's trying to get. But apparently there's a guy who's out there saying that he had a relationship with Obama, and he interviewed him. Like, this guy, as far as I know, has like nothing to back him up, but it's just to put him out there to give him a platform just to, you know, take a shot at Barack Obama, which again is reckless. I would think if you're going to even pretend to act like you are a journalist or a serious interviewer, to at least look into it, verify some things, see if this guy is a quack or a clown. And if he is, don't have him on there, which more than likely he is. But no, not Tucker. He had him on there. So,
see, you said a couple of key things. You talked about interviewer, journalist. That's not what sells, bro. Like, people don't. That's the same reason they got these hot chip challenges. People don't need logic. People want excitement. They want that. They want those ideas, and it sells. You know, that's why all these reality shows and all this stuff is like those things.
Yeah.
You don't really need real good content. You just need entertainment. So that was an entertaining interview to the point where you're bringing it up on the show.
Yeah. I just think he's reckless, man. But
yeah, that sells.
But yeah, I do want to get back to Coco. Congratulations, Miss Golf. 19 years old, won your first major Grand Slam title. That $3 million purse don't hurt either that you won with it. You beat the woman that's going to be the number one women's tennis player come Monday. So on Monday, she's going to officially be the number one player. That's who Coco Gauff just beat. My hope is that her and Naomi Osaka have like a good, friendly rivalry for years to come. That'll be pretty dope to watch. But the main reason I wanted to bring Coco Gauff and her win up was because after she won her title, the very first person she hugged was her father. And to me, that's a big deal because so many athletes, entertainers, artists, anybody who gets a platform, they thank mama, they hug mama, they love mama. Deservedly so. Not taking anything from mothers. But if you listen to Kevin Durant's MVP speech, you would think his father was never around. His dad not only was in his life, his dad just not long ago finished working across the street from the Capitol. He worked at the Library of Congress, if I'm not mistaken. Like, his dad was in his life, but to casual fans, it's like, oh, it was just him and his mom. Like, nah, his dad was there too. Moms get so much love, so it's always just cool to see an athlete, especially, it hit me hard because I have a daughter. So to see this young woman go and embrace her father before anyone else, I may be making more than what it is, but to me, it was dope. I love seeing it, and I really appreciate it.
She talked about him in her speech, too. Just going to throw that out there since we're...
yeah, go
since
ahead.
We're doing it. I mean, she talked about, you know, how she loved her dad, and they mentioned it. You know, how
that
she
was her
him.
First time seeing him cry.
Yeah, it's the first time seeing him cry. There are fathers in these lives, and I mean, like Byron said, mothers, you guys are doing a great job. You get a lot of your flowers while you're here. And, you know, it's good to see that, especially for our young Black girls. I love everything about Coco. Like, I love her poise. I love how she carries herself. And, you know, I think that's in large part to her parents. But I want to say that her dad and, you know, plays a part in that. So I'm done. I don't want to steal your thunder, Buff. Keep going.
That's all I got, man. It was just cool. Like, it actually makes you appreciate watching her fail a couple of years ago. Like, watching her come up short, even earlier this year, come up short, and to finally break through. That, it was just awesome to watch, man. That's all. I plan on, I miss Serena. I'm not missing Coco. I'm going to a U.S. Open. If not next year, 2 years from now, but I'm going, I want to see Coco. That's all I got.
Let me know. You know I'm always down for a trip, so...
Yes, sir.
I was already looking at it.
Okay, this is up there. Okay.
See, this is how it goes. This is how it starts. You said 2 years, and we'll be there next year because we're like, so we going? That's all my text gonna say. Yeah. But I had something to talk about, but I want to kind of piggyback off what you were saying is I think a lot of that. I want to thank my mom comes from just those historical gender roles of mom being the one that drove them to practice, that was there all the time, right? And I want to challenge dads to find that work-life balance and be there too, take your kids to those practices and stuff. Be there at those practices because mom's there watching, and that's what they see. Mom's at every game. You are the one that's making the choice to say, I can't make this game. I got to go into the office, or I can't, you know, I'm going to be out of town on this one. And so you're missing games where mom's there. And so that's why moms get a lot of those flowers a lot of times. And I'm not saying that's wrong or whatever. I mean, y'all got to make, hey, you got to pay the bills first. You got to make it work. But as much as you can, be there, man. Be there. Because, you know, I'm the only one. And so I'm taking the kids everywhere. And I see the difference in how they talk about treated me when Jen was the one taking them to everything, right? It, like, she would take them on, literally take them on vacations every year with just her. Because as a stay-at-home mom, summer rolled around. I didn't see the kids for almost a month sometimes in the summer. Because she's like, we're going here, we're going there, we're going there. And I'm like, well, I got 1 week of vacation. So I'm going to be with y'all this week. But there are other weeks. Y'all do whatever y'all going to do. And so, you know, it is much, much different when you're there. Even if it is, you just got to leave the office so that you can be at the practice at 5:30 instead of staying at late night or going to that after-hour event. And we see that a lot of times where women end up, their careers slow down because of that. They're the ones leaving at 5 while the guys are staying there doing the after hours thing, going to the happy hour with the guys or the, you know, the management and everything. And that's a lot of times how they're getting these promotions and stuff. So make that concerted effort, man. Talk to your wife, be like, yo, I got them this day. You stay and you go to the after hour thing. You hit up the happy hour with your office. And I'm gonna get the kids and I'm gonna leave early. So make that balance, man, and be there for the kids. And maybe you'll get some of those flowers too.
That needed to be said. Well said, bro.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, really great points. And I think that was actually kind of one of my questions. So we'll follow up on that next week. But a couple of things. So speaking of kids, shout out to my mini me. Got his first haircut today. Did a really good job.
You know,
the old saying, once you're old enough to get edge up, you're old enough to get a job. So, TJ, they're hiring. We're looking for a job. But secondly, I had the pleasure of hosting the Navy Recruiting Command today. They came out and spoke to some of our lamplighters about scholarship opportunities. And in no form or fashion, I'm promoting anybody to go to the military, anything like that. But I just urge parents, especially some of our listeners who might have kids who are becoming college age and want to go to school and they're struggling to pay for college. There's not much harder than going to college and not knowing how you're going to pay for it. I'm telling you this. I as an adult, I look back and realize that a lot of my struggle through college was finances. And because I couldn't deal with that, it led to depression. I was dealing with depression in college because of that, you know. And I say that to say, explore options, explore different things. And if your kids are thinking about college and are on a college path, look at other options outside of just enlisting them in things. And Rising might hate me for this. And I said this in our meeting today, the Army and the Marines have a monopoly on our black youth. Those are the people who our kids are. I was talking to one of the recruiters and she goes to a school. The first thing kids ask her, are you with the Army? They don't know about the Navy. They don't know about the Air Force. And especially your kids who are intelligent enough to get the test scores and getting, not even test scores, they can get into college. Do you know the ACT, SAT prep scores, SAT, they have the GPA. And if these things aren't as demanding as you would think, there's so much money out there for like Navy or ROTC. Mm-hmm. There is so, and the career paths and, they're coming out, and Rizzi and I were both lucky and that we were able to go to medical and Rizzi was able to go to logistics, but a lot of these Army and Marine jobs and stuff like that, especially if you stay enlisted, aren't things, skills that are transferable in the real world. Like being an Army, and nothing wrong with an Army cook or a truck driver. You can drive a truck, but you're not going to come out being able to drive trucks in the civilian world. Like there are certificates and stuff and these other branches, a lot of these more technical branches offer, especially as you get a degree, that are just so beneficial to your kids. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to sell you on this. I'm saying look into other opportunities. Do not go straight. Do not just look at the Army, the Marines, do not just look at just being enlisted. There is some money out there for these kids. They are looking for minorities. They are looking for young officers. It's a great opportunity. If I knew then what I knew now, I probably should have been a Navy ROTC. I mean,
yeah, because I think, yeah, yeah, FAM has Navy, right? Because I know like UAB has Army.
They have both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and so you look at that.
No, it surprised me when Okay. So I was surprised when you were like, you know, I might hate on it or say something. No, I totally agree, man. Look, every option is an option. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is figuring out what works the best for you. And if it is ROTC, if it is dual enrollment, right, where you're ROTC or where you're ROTC, but you're still in the reserves and those types of things, like there's so many opportunities for you to be paid, to get a skill, to get experience, get knowledge, get leadership training, and then be able to go out into the real world. And sometimes it might be, hey, I don't know what I want to do. I'm going to take these 3 years. I'm going to go active duty and I'm going to figure it out. And then I'm going to come and I got money for college and everything. I'm 100% cool and support something other than going to college and military or, you know, trade schools. Those types of things are 100% on the table.
Yeah. And yeah, it definitely is. Because we had one person in there that was, she went enlisted and then got commissioned and stuff like that. And I'll leave you with this. The reason I brought this up is because when we're talking about college and a lot of the careers aren't transferable, you know, when the brother that I was connected with, Brother Jackson, was talking, one of the last things he said is like, look at the Navy as like the STEM branch of the military. There's a high focus in STEM. If you can just start thinking about that, and then you look at it, because a lot of people don't know much about the Navy. They don't know much about the Air Force. They know the Army and the Marines. And I say that to say these college students, these people I was talking to were engineers, had degrees in electrical, mechanical engineering. They're driving ships. They're doing all these things. And it's like masters and had a bachelor's in electrical. They to move up to do whatever she wanted to do. They pay for her to go back to college to get her master's in mechanical because they're the STEM branch in the military. It's like, and she made a career out of it. She's probably a little younger than us and she's about to retire next year. So, all right, fellas, with that being said, three brothers, no sense. Six rules of podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment. Most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.